Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Showing Up to Your Life podcast and YouTube channel. My name is Art Burns, and I'm very, very excited to be here with you. I'm especially excited because I'm seeing the signups for my new webinar coming up, and this makes me really, really pumped. Again, I am doing a webinar next Sunday, not this Sunday, Mother's Day, but Sunday, May 16th. It's going to be at 6 p.m. my time, which is the mountain time, which means it's 5 p.m. in the Pacific time zone, 7 p.m. in the Central time zone, and 8 p.m. in the Eastern time zone. And it's completely free. There's no cost involved at all. All you got to do is click the link in the description and just put in your name and your email address, and you're signed up, and nothing else has to happen. Okay, you will automatically receive an email with the link, and you'll receive lots of reminders next week as we lead up to it. And I just want to tell you how excited I am about this. You know, as I said, already a few people are signed up. You know, many of you who are on my mailing list, who probably are watching this right now, you know that you signed up for a webinar that I did last year, the year before. For a solid year, every Sunday evening, I did a webinar about stress and how to deal with stress, how to reduce stress. And I have to tell you that, you know, and I don't know that I'm going to do this one every week. I probably won't. I might do it like maybe once a month, or maybe, I don't know. We'll see. Because it does take a lot to do a webinar every single Sunday, I'll tell you that. But I am looking forward to doing at least this one, because for a specific reason. You know, I was thinking about, you know, back when I used to do the webinar was called, this is probably going to remind you all, How to Tame Stress and Eliminate Reactivity in Less Than 8 Weeks, right? And the concept was that if you take a mindfulness, you know, practice, you know, and really do the practices that I prescribe, after about 8 weeks, you're going to feel a lot less stress, and you're going to have a much more, solid handle on your stress, right? Now, out of that, a great number of people wound up being clients of mine, and I have watched them do exactly what we said they were going to do. It turned into more of a 12-week process. That was something I had to adjust as we went, but I did see people, you know, reduce their or tame their stress and eliminate their reactivity. I saw it happen right before my eyes. But also something really amazing and just totally awesome was that, you know, after I would do these webinars every Sunday evening, almost every single Monday, I would have like two or three emails from people who attended, who told me how much it helped them to understand what was going on. And just that understanding is such a big step, right? In the ability to control something or to change something, right? And so that is something I'm really looking forward to this time again. Like, I can't wait until Monday the 17th, where I get to see some, or that week of the 17th, where I get to see some emails from people telling me how much the webinar helped them, and how much it helped them to understand something that they didn't understand before. So if that's, you know, if you want to be one of those people, I really encourage you to just click the link in the description below, okay? Very simple. Again, you click the link. It's a long letter that I have, you know, it's got some pictures and some stuff. I mean, you don't really have to read it if you don't want to, but you can. I set up this landing page because I'm going to be doing some Google ads for the first time. I'm really excited about that too. So I needed something for people to actually read the information, you know, but for all of you, you know, it's very simple. It's just a webinar that's happening May 16th. So all you have to do is scroll all the way down to the bottom of the page, and there's a little form there, okay, which has three fields: your first name, your last name, your email address. That's it. Hit send, done, you're done, and then you'll just receive emails. But check your junk folder, because sometimes when it comes from a place called artburnscoaching.com, a lot of mail systems, you know, kind of filter that out, and they'll throw it in the junk file or the promotions file or folder, rather. So keep an eye out for it, all right? And of course, if there's any questions, if you have any issues with it, like I didn't get the email, nothing's working, then just get in touch with me. I'll hook it up for you, okay? Don't worry about that. But yeah, I'm really excited about it. I really, really am. And I got kind of some of my slides figured out already, and I got my whole script going, and I'm really excited. So I hope you're able to join all of us next Sunday. Because again, I've already got a bunch of people signed up, so it's really exciting. Now, some people like to play this game, right? Where, and I've been coached to play this game before, where, you know, tell people that there's only, you know, 30 spots. you know, and then you'll get more people to sign up because people react better when they think they're, you know, FOMO, fear of missing out, right? I don't play that game, all right? I know it works, and I'm not denying that it works, and I'm not defying the efficacy of it, but I am not that person, and I don't do that. So, you know, we all know that Zoom, I think I can have 100 people on the call at once, you know? So it's really not a worry. If we get to that level, then, I mean, I'll just do another webinar. It's not a big deal. But sign up because it's going to be amazing, okay? Don't sign up because you're afraid. Sign up, and this is a great example of the work I do, right? I'm always telling you, you know, make sure that you're not operating from a place of fear by default, but instead bring intention to it and see if you can operate from a place of love, right? So operate from love here and join this webinar because you love the idea of the webinar, not because you're afraid that you're going to miss out on it, okay? That's my marketing scheme. We'll see if it works, I guess. So anyway, today I want to kind of follow up a little bit on what we were talking about yesterday. It's really funny. In my little black notebook here, yesterday was supposed to be, what I had down for yesterday's topic was, you know, when we try to control things in our lives, you know, it sets us up for disaster, basically, is the note that I wrote. And so I switched that yesterday because I was really talking about the people yesterday, right? I was talking about the different people in our lives and how, you know, really it's about, you know, kind of, you know, working on ourselves, right? So that we can impact those around us, right? And so it's really important, I think, to start with that concept of the interpersonal relationships that we all have with each other, right? But it's also, I want to use yesterday's topic today because it is very, very important and very, very helpful to understand this concept that when, you know, when we try to control, you know, aspects of the reality around us, right? Whether that's trying to control other people, as we talked about yesterday, right? Like I talked about yesterday, like, my wife, you know, used to have some real, you know, depression issues, right? And I used to think like, if only she could not be so depressed, you know, now I'll be happy, right? Like it's such a bummer for me to live with this person who's got such depression issues, right? But I soon realized, or I didn't realize until after the fact, but when I decided to just work on myself, not worry about changing my wife, but instead changing myself, well, look what happened. The depression lifted. It's all gone. It's not there anymore, right? She no longer has that same behavioral thing that used to upset me. So you see what happens by doing something to me, I actually double up on it, right? Because then, you know, those around me start acting differently and start and irritate me less, right? So it's a very virtuous cycle. Right. And in this sense, things continue to unfold that way. Right. Generally speaking, the more you work on yourself, the more you're able to be present, accepting, compassionate and kind towards others and to be curious about what's going on around you. Generally speaking, this is going to radiate around and it's going to positively impact those around you. And therefore, those actions of those around you are going to be kinder, more compassionate, more accepting, the whole thing, right? So you see how it sets up this cycle, right? And it's really important to see it that way, or it's really helpful to see it that way, I should say. But the same thing holds true for the circumstances of our lives, right? Now, one of the classics that I always talk about here, right, is getting caught in a traffic jam. And I use this because we've all gotten caught in traffic jams, right? No matter how well we plan, no matter how well we, try to figure things out, we hit traffic. It's inevitable. It's part of life in America or wherever you live, right? And that's not true about every part of America. Certainly when you live in a small town, there's less traffic. But even then, right, there's times you have to get on the interstate and you get stuck, right? And so when we get stuck in traffic, right, there's two sort of options available to us, right? The first option, and there might be more than two options, but the two that I'm thinking of right now, the first option is to get angry and to get upset about the fact that we're stuck in traffic, right? And what we do then is when we're angry about it, right? Again, the anger itself changes the way that we perceive our own actions and the circumstances of others and you know, other people and things, right? So it's really, really important to understand that, right? And the reason for that, the reason I bring that up is that under normal circumstances, you would never think of punching the dashboard of your car, right? Like, you wouldn't think of it, right? Because why would you do that? You pay a lot of money for this car. You want it, you know, you want it to be in good shape. You maybe want to sell it someday. Maybe you're leasing the car, and if you break it, you're going to pay extra money. So there's no motivation that you would have to damage your own car, right? But yet when we get stuck in traffic and we let that, and that anger, not that we let, but that anger arises in us, you know, then it suddenly seems like a great idea to pound the steering wheel or pound the dashboard, right? It seems like a good idea. Sometimes it might even seem a good idea to, you know, really rev up the engine and then slam on the brakes. You know, have you ever done that in anger as you're driving? I have. And so when we, you know, when we get into that anger place, that's when all the you know, it's like all bets are off, right? You cannot possibly, you're working with a completely different operating system at that point, right? And the operating system that you're working with at that point is much less discerning and much less, worried about what's going to happen as a result of your actions, right? And so that's really important to understand, right? Very helpful to understand. Again, I'm sorry you keep making that, it's only important if you put your value onto it, but it is very, very valuable and very, very helpful no matter what for you to understand that. So the other choice that we have when we're in traffic, right, is to simply accept the traffic, right? Accept that this is what's happened, right? It's not ideal. It might even be very damaging to us, right? It might, you know, it doesn't mean that, you know, as I say this a lot, right? Like, if you're on your way somewhere, like, let's say you're on your way to pick up your kids at school, or you're on your way to a job interview, or you're on your way to see somebody who's very important to you, right? When you're stuck in traffic, you know, that is going to be impacted. Right. There's no, like, that is part of the reality. So it's not saying like, oh, don't worry about it, everything's going to be fine. You know, no, you might not get the job because you're late for the interview. Right. Like, you might miss a court date. You might, you know, your children are going to be alone. That's a scary thing for them and for you. Right. So it's not to say like, oh, it's no big deal. Just, you know, accept it. It's fine. Everything is awesome. You know, let's just live life and look at flowers and stuff like that. No. There are definite ramifications. Right. But again, whether you punch your dashboard or you don't punch your dashboard, you're still late. You're still going to face those same consequences. The consequences have nothing to do with whether you decide to get angry or not get angry, right? And that's the key aspect of what we talk about here. But now here's the thing, right? That when we try to control things, right? When we get to that place of feeling like, no, I cannot be stuck in traffic. This is going to, you know, end my career. Of course, it's probably not going to end your career, you know, and that's another thing that anger does is it, and stress also does this, is it catastrophizes things. Right. Which means that, you know, when you think of like, okay, I'm going to miss this meeting, right, that could lead to my dream job or something. Right. The idea is that if I don't make this meeting, my entire life is going to be, you know, it's going to spiral down to the point where in a month from now, I'm going to be living in a refrigerator box, right, on Skid Row. Right. Like that's how our minds work. And our minds will tell that story very, very quickly. Right. But the reason that story gets told very quickly is because, in a large extent, to the emotional reaction that we're having, right? To the anger, to the frustration, to the whatever it is, right? But anger specifically is something that is known to impact us this way because of how powerful the emotion of anger is, right? It's different from, you know, guilt. It's different from jealousy. It's different from these things. Well, jealousy includes anger a little bit. But anyway, let's not digress. And we'll talk more about that next week, I promise you, and certainly in the webinar. But the idea, though, that is, you know, again, if we feel like we can somehow control what's happening around us, right? Like we can control whether we get in traffic jams or not get in traffic jams, right? What we're doing is we're setting ourselves up for more anger later on and more stress later on as well, right? And let me explain to you how that works or what I mean by that. So again, you're sitting in traffic, you're stuck in traffic, there's nothing you can do, right? Like the next exit is 2 miles down the road. There's nothing you can do, right? There's cops up there, so if you drive on the shoulder, you're not only going to get some angry honks from people, but you're also probably going to get a ticket, right? So that's not an option, right? Or maybe that is an option for you. Maybe you don't care about the money, so you just do it. good for you. Most of us don't have that option, right? So it's not an option to drive on the shoulder of the road and cheat ourselves off this traffic jam, right? That's not okay. Not morally, but just, you know, logistically, right? It's going to cause more problems than it solves, right? Or maybe not, you know. But again, that's let's not go too granular on it, right? So let's just assume, let's just accept the fact that there's nothing you can do, right? You're stuck in this traffic. So now you have the choice again of either accepting that you're stuck in traffic and just doing everything you can, right? You have a phone, you make a phone call, you try to cover yourself, you do everything you possibly can do to compensate for this traffic that you're stuck in, right? There's nothing wrong with doing that, right? But after that, after you've done everything you can possibly do, right? After you've checked to see if there's any way to get around this traffic, after you've made the phone call you can make, now there's nothing more you can do, right? Except to accept what's nothing besides accept what happens or what is going on right now, right? Like that's the only thing we can do, right? We can accept it, right? And again, so I'm sorry, I got digressed again, but if we don't accept it, what happens, right? Let's talk about that for a second, right? If we decide that we don't want to accept it, but we want to allow ourselves to get angry, right? Whatever reason, maybe that's just something you wanted to do that day, right? As we get angry, right, what's going to happen is number one, we're going to, again, probably make some decisions that might not be in our best interest, right? They might not be the best, you know, decisions to make. We're also going to, we're also, when we're in that place of anger, right, we're getting our body into a stressed place, right? Our body is going to experience hyperarousal in the nervous system, right? Which means not only is your decision-making thrown off, but also your heart rate is increased, your blood pressure is elevated, your various systems in your body are shutting down and not working because they're trying to survive. Your body is trying to survive this traffic jam, which really doesn't pose much danger to you, but you're trying to survive it anyway, right? And this is the same thing with anger, right? Anger does all these same things, which is why anger and stress are almost like two sides of the same coin. But so what happens then, right? So let's say it's your daughter that you're picking up at school, right? Or you're on your way to a job interview, right? And you let everybody know that you're late, and you know you did what you could, right? But you got to the point where you're angry, right? And stressed out about it, right? So what happens when you show up to that interview 15 minutes late? Right? You already got a strike against you there, right? Or to your kid's school, right? You already, you know, the kid is already upset, right? Because you're not there, right? Your child is already feeling fear. Your child is already feeling sad. Your child is already struggling with all these feelings. The interviewer is already thinking like, oh, I don't know about this person. They're late for their interview. How could you be late for an interview? How could you not leave, you know, a half hour early to make sure that you know you're okay if you get stuck in traffic? I mean, it's an interview, right? So you're already in this place, right? So now who shows up, right? Who shows up to that place, right? Who shows up to your child? Is it the calm, confident, relaxed and happy parent, right? Who's going to reassure the child out of their fear? Who's going to make that child feel more secure, right? Or is it this shaky, you know, like ragey person who's going to make our child more afraid? Right? Is the person walking into the interview, the person who walks in still, you know, not sweating, still looking good and still, oh my gosh, everybody, I left 20 minutes earlier than I normally would have and I still wound up being late. I'm so happy that you're giving me this opportunity. Let's do this interview. I'm really prepared. I'm ready to really knock your socks off here in this interview. So let's go. Right? Is it that person or is it the person who's, you know, sweating and ruffled and like, okay, let's have this interview. Right. Of course, I'm making a silly, comical exaggeration here, but is it, right? Is it that far-fetched? Because remember, it's not even what you say or how you outwardly express yourself. Remember, you know, empathic resonance, right? That when you get yourself into that place of angst and stress and anger, the people who you're going to meet, they're going to feel that, whether you say anything or not. And whether they understand it or not, right? They don't necessarily understand it, but they're going to feel something. And that feeling is going to make them say, something's wrong here. Let's put this person's resume on this pile instead of the callback pile, right? You know, your child, you know, maybe they trust you a little less. Maybe they, you know, maybe it's, who knows where that's going to lead, right? But the point is that that is the root of, well, let me say it this way. The point is that, you know, when things go wrong for us, and things will always go wrong, right? As I said with the traffic jam, that's a very universal aspect. But there's so many other universal wrongness that goes on in life, right? Like, life just doesn't happen the way that we want it to happen. It just doesn't. And there's no way to control every aspect of your life, right? And the more you try to control every aspect of your life, the more you're going to invite the anger and the stress, right? Because it's going to resist, right? There's no way, unless you're like a rock star, right? Where you've got just as much money as you could possibly need, everything just gets taken care of, right? Like, you know, so for those few of you who live that lifestyle, I humbly back away from my statement here. But for the 99% of the rest of us, you know, life is just not like that, right? Life just doesn't happen that way, right? No matter how many plans we make, no matter how many, you know, visualizations we do, no matter how many mood boards we make, no matter how much we try to control the aspects of our lives externally, life happens the way life happens. You cannot control it. And so the concept then is that, and this is how I used to live, right? I used to live like thinking that I had to control every aspect of everything that happened throughout the day, because that is how I was going to ensure that I didn't get angry and that I didn't get stressed and that I had a good day. How many times do you think that worked? I'll tell you what, the over-under would be zero. I mean, it literally never works, right? It never works, because not only can we not control, because, you know, because the life is made up of, you know, just on this planet, there's almost 8 billion people, right, who all have free will and all have, you know, their own motivations, their own priorities, their own needs, their own desires. So there's no way for us, and all 8 billion of us are all part of this thing, right? Now, of course, you know, like, we could make that a smaller number, because the people who are really interacting in your life are not 8 billion people, of course, but, you know, policies are made based on 8 billion people, you know, all that kind of stuff, climate change, all that kind of stuff. But the point is, though, that even in your life, as I said yesterday, even in my life at home, right, there's 4 people living here. There's not just one. I'm not living here alone. If I was living alone with no cats, then I might be able to control every aspect of what's going on in my home, right? Because it's just me, right? Although I can't control if there's a flood, I can't control if there's a power outage. So even then, there's things that are going to be beyond my control, right? But certainly in this home of 4 people, right, there and 2 cats, we are 6 people living here, 6 creatures living here, with all of us have our own set of needs, our own set of desires, our own set of acceptable, you know, what we find acceptable, what we find unacceptable. We all have our own notions, our own emotions, our own, you know, everything, right? So there's no way for me to control all of this. It's just impossible. And the problem, though, is that when we try to, right, when we try to control what's happening around us, ultimately it sets us up for even more anger and more stress. Just like I said in the traffic jam, right? Like, you know, whether you get angry or you remain accepting and mellow, the traffic jam doesn't change, right? You're still late for wherever you're going, right? The question is, who is late? Right? Is it the person who's in their most effective way, right? The homeostasis, right? Or is it the person who's beside themselves with this stress and anger, right? Because those two people are going to have much different experiences in their lives, right? And when we get to that place where we're in that angst and that stress and anger, well, then we can pretty much guarantee that this situation that is already difficult is going to be more difficult. And that's not the least to do with the consequences of the things that we say and do to people, right? Like if we, you know, again, you get to your kid's school and it's like, get in the car. We're late. We got to get to where we're going. You know, there's going to be a consequence to that, you saying that to your child, whether that's a consequence just for your child or generally speaking, it's going to come back to you in some kind of way. Right? There's a consequence to showing up to a job interview and being like, oh, let's just get this done. You know, like you're not going to get the job, right? Or if you're all flustered, you're probably not going to get the job because you're not showing the people that you're, you know, capable, you know, because you're not in that moment, right? You're literally not the person who can handle the thing that you're applying to do. You're a different person at that point. You have a different brain at that point. And so the concept then is to accept what is happening, right? And accept not in the sense of acquiescence or surrender so much, although some mindfulness teachers will tell you it's exactly surrender, and in a way it is. It's surrendering yourself to just the way life is happening, right? But when we say surrender, it makes it sound like, you know, there's no hope of anything ever getting better. Right? And that is far from the truth, right? In fact, acceptance is what allows us to change things, right? Acceptance allows us to stay in who we are, right? And with the beautiful, amazing, powerful brain that we have and the logic and the reasoning and the ability to remember all of our experiences many of our experiences and to factor those into our decision-making. Right? That is the person who is capable of great, great things. The person who's angry, that's the person who's capable of not very great things, you know? But again, it's not to say that, you know, I shouldn't say that. I shouldn't say the person who's angry is the person who experiences uncontrolled chronic anger, right? Just like chronic stress. Right? Because remember, stress and anger are very similar in that way, that they are really, really powerful and very beneficial things for us. In fact, they can be responsible for saving our lives, right? There's a story I shared here many weeks ago about a 55-year-old man, who grandfather, who was at the park with his grandson, and a water main pipe rolled onto another child at the park, right? This is a huge pipe. It wound up weighing 1,800 pounds, and this guy went over there, 55-year-old guy, not some kind of bodybuilder, just a regular 55-year-old guy, and he literally went over and lifted the pipe off the child. There's many stories like that out there. I just read another one in this book, the anger book that I'm reading, of a woman in Texas who lifted a car off of her son who was under the car trying to, you know, do repairs, and the car slipped off the jack and fell onto him. And she lifted the car up so he could roll out. He had nothing but a couple of bruises, right? So just to think of that, of how powerful this anger can be, and how amazing it can be, right? But if you're experiencing anger every day, throughout the day, well, then it goes from something that's very powerful and very helpful, potentially life-saving, to something that is going to kill you, literally. So that's the key, right? To not, you know, it's to experience anger and to harness that anger when you need to, but to not be angry when it's not called for. Right? To be able to regulate it, right? Turn it off and on, right? And to transform it into something that is not this chronic damaging thing, but instead is something that's very useful, very beneficial for us. All right? And so this is all what we're going to cover in the webinar and in the course, the 12-week course after the webinar. So if you're interested in any of this, I highly encourage you and invite you warmly, click the link below. And it also in the description, though, there's also the link to book a call with me. That's another free call. There's no cost at all to it. If you have questions about this, you know, maybe you're not sure about the course or the webinar, it's not your style, you'd rather just talk to me and ask a couple of questions, click that link instead. Okay. All right, everybody. I wish you well. Oh, and by the way, also, I'm going to be hosting tomorrow morning's Saturday morning meditation and discussion. Normally, it's my colleague Adam who does this one, but he's traveling for work, so I'm going to be doing it tomorrow. So you're all more than welcome to join me there, too. I'm going to put that link as well in the description so you can register for that call. It's at 9 a.m. Mountain Time, which is 8 a.m. on the West Coast. 10 a.m. on the Central Zone and 11 a.m. in the East Coast. I think I got all that right. All right, everybody. Wish you well. But if you click on the link, Meetup has it all figured out. So don't worry about that. Wherever you are, Meetup will tell you the time that it is for you, I believe. So anyway, thanks for listening. Thanks for watching. I wish you all well. And I'll be back again on Monday to talk about some more good stuff. Take care. Have a good one.